I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. A major televised forum brings together old-time religion, newfangled media, and the biggest names in American politics. Plus, is the Obama camp shutting Reverend Jesse Jackson out of the conventions? We've got that and more on our Bloggers Roundtable. And with us today, veteran blogger Lynn D. Johnson. She blogs at lynndjohnson.com. Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review and online news site. And Tyrone Rock, who blogs at tyronetakesamerica.com. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hello.
So this weekend, the two presidential candidates appeared at a faith forum with the author and megachurch leader Rick Warren, who we are planning on having on the show tomorrow. And they answered questions about personal faith, poverty, climate change, abortion, HIV. Lynn, this is the only event in which the two candidates will appear together ahead of their party convention. So do you think this whole theme of religion and the focus of putting politics in a religious context cuts against the grain of some of what people have been saying about election 2008? That, you know, and what I mean by that is people have said, you know, for racial reasons and other reasons, election 2008 is revolutionary. It's all about the new. But faith is something that's been with us for millennia. Is this a case of old meets new?
I think it's a bit a case of old meets new, but I don't know how relevant it is either, and that's what makes it so old. I read a quote on the Daily Voice yesterday from Reverend C. Welton Gaddy, president of Interfaith Alliance, who said, you know, that Warren sort of crossed the line and was promoting something sort of a pastor-in-chief instead of a commander-in-chief. And so we have moved away a little bit from, you know, how this is the campaign of change and how it's so different to something that sounds and smells a little the same.
Do you think that the candidates should have chosen other forums? I mean, Rick Warren, presumably, he thinks it's a good idea. He set it up. But should the candidates have thought twice, either of them, about making this move?
In my personal opinion, yes, because, there's been so many arguments about Bush and his religious faith and how he uses the Bible to have led our country into war and so on. And just pushing this election so close to religious views, yes, it showed our candidates in a different light. We got to know their characters better. But is it something we really needed to know at this time? Or do we need to know more about the issues and have them more on forums where they're dealing with the issues instead of how their religious views affect how they feel about issues?
Rob, what stood out to you the most, either in terms of a specific answer or just the general back and forth? And who do you think, I'm going to ask all of you this, who do you think turned out better on camera?
I think what stood out the most was the Barack Obama Clarence Thomas swipe. And I think that one of the only people that had a very good swipe back was a gentleman on Fox. I cannot remember his name. But anyway, he said something to the sort of, because Barack elaborated and said why he wouldn't want Clarence Thomas on the court if he were doing the appointing. And he said because basically he's young and he's not experienced and all of that. And the commentator basically said, well, you know, or the critic basically said, well, who's he to talk about being young and inexperienced? So especially when you stack him up against John McCain. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I think he's definitely still more experienced than Hillary Clinton, but John McCain. So that kind of hurt. But I think that Barack Obama did look a lot more presidential to people where religion is important, and clearly with Warren's listeners and his followers, these folks are important to Barack Obama. So I think it's definitely one where he gets to say, I believe gay, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's important to some people.
Tyrone, there have been a lot of different questions about the structure of this. One candidate went first by coin toss, and that was Senator Obama. Some people have said, oh, McCain sounded better because he got to hear Obama's answers. Other people say, no, he was sequestered. How do you feel about that whole issue?
Well, the thing that stood out to me is, I mean, the difference between the two candidates was McCain somehow looked like somebody, you know, handed him the script before the whole thing started, but no one handed it to Barack Obama. But Obama somehow found the master script, and in that master script is his usual thing that he does, where he knows what he's doing. You know, he knows exactly like how to be not vague, but how to not be evasive, but still not get boxed into any corner with any of these questions. So I think he still did well in those terms. I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most was the format of the whole thing. I mean, not only that this was the first time either these two candidates have been on the same stage and it's in a church. I mean, again, like Lynn said, I don't think that was a wise choice for, I mean, apparently it was a wise choice for the campaign because there's something economical to their campaign about doing it. But just the fact that that format still exists goes against this whole thing we've been talking about with change. It just seems like more of the same to me.
I want to move on to the broader issue of how the campaigns are playing themselves out. You know, as you know, we are 1 week away from the Democratic convention and just 2 weeks away from the Republican convention. And these conventions aren't always back to back. Sometimes they've been a month apart or so. And this intensity of this campaign season, which has gone on for so long and now is coming to this real culmination of banners and, you know, statements and announcements is quite astounding. On the other hand, there are some people who are being pushed to the side. One of them is Reverend Jesse Jackson. For the first time in 24 years, he's not going to address the convention. He'll be there, but not center stage. His son is going to speak. Do you see this, Tyrone, I'll stick with you, as an act of spite from the Obama campaign? Because he did threaten to cut the senator's baby makers off.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it spite. I mean, this is one of the things, by the way, that is changing that I'm not disappointed in. I think maybe it's about time for Reverend Jackson to step aside, you know, given some of the things that have been said recently. And on top of that, you know, you've got his son as a prime player in Obama's campaign. And, you know, we don't know for sure. We'll never know, like, what actually stemmed from the conflict between them two about what was said earlier. So maybe this is just, hey, you know what, listen, you guys, maybe we should just keep Reverend Jackson out of this. Maybe we should just let you work that out on your own. Maybe there's just too much going on with this whole thing for us to have him here, you know, in the midst of everything we're trying to do.
That is Tyrone Rock. He blogs at TyroneTakesAmerica.com. We are in the middle of our bloggers roundtable, just catching everyone up to speed. This is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Also with us is Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review, and Lynn D. Johnson, who blogs at LynnDJohnson.com. And so, Lynn D. Johnson, I'm going to ask you about the whole convention thing. Do you think that it is important to bring people who have had key roles in the past onto the podium for these conventions, even if the candidate doesn't really like those people?
You know, as you ask this question, I think about an article that was in New York Times Magazine last week, I believe it was, last Sunday. And the question the article raised was, is Obama the end of black politics? So in light of talking about Jesse Jackson in specific, I think, you know, this is a different kind of campaign, supposed to be a new campaign, new messages, new messages to get across, to get out there. Breaking away from tradition is not a bad thing for Obama, I think, at all. I think it's a good thing. It really shows that he is breaking new ground and clearing a new path for Democratic politics. So I think it's a great idea to break new ground.
Rob, when you think about the conventions, there's also the question of whether or not you have people who have very different views up on stage mm-hmm. with you. And back mm-hmm. in 1992, Bob Casey Sr., a Pennsylvania Democrat with anti-abortion views, was denied a slot at the convention. This time his son, Senator Bob Casey Jr., also an anti-abortion Democrat, is going to address the convention. So what do you make of that? Is that like a big tent, you know, we've got it, a little bit of everything for everyone move?
Well, it might seem as if it might be. I can't say that it's not. I haven't studied as closely as I've studied this Jesse Jackson and Barack Obama thing. I believe before the castration remark, Jesse Jackson would have been speaking at the convention. I truly, honestly believe that. And there probably isn't a bigger critic on the line right now of Jesse Jackson than I am. I'm an independent. I've made no qualms about that. I think we need regime change in terms of the movement. But I think it is clearly inappropriate to have Barack Obama set the agenda with the president of the United States, who is a pseudo-black president, but not have Jesse Jackson speak, who was literally almost president of the United States. He garnered a lot of support, a lot of votes, and although I'm a big critic of his, I think he deserves to speak. It puts it in context, the moment in context, the civil rights movement in context. He laid the groundwork along with Martin Luther King, whether any of us likes it or not.
Well, if I could just jump in, I mean, I would respectfully disagree. I think that it puts it in perfect context for him to not be there. And, you know, yeah, great. He has been an icon in the civil rights thing so far to this point. His actions of late and the actions of other civil rights leaders of the past have not been pro-Obama at all. And, you know, the thing about that is maybe the one thing that Obama can do to prove, yeah, this really is time for us to change, is to not have these people a part of this and to show people that, yeah, we're moving on to something new now.
Well, moving on to something new, much less serious, but it has been getting actually quite a lot of static. There's a new movie out called Tropic Thunder, and we talked a bit about it on the show before because Robert Downey Jr. is in blackface, but it's not typical blackface. It's a first of all, what looks like a fairly authentic rendering of Robert Downey Jr. and what he would look like as a black man. But secondly, he's playing a white actor who's playing a black actor. Anyway, now there's a new controversy over the use of the word retard and retarded, and it's caused a bunch of op-eds. You might remember, Rob, there was actually also a Black Eyed Peas track that originally was titled Let's Get Retarded. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Everybody,
So I play that only because this song, when it became a huge, huge hit, was called Let's Get It Started, because someone realized, oh, wait, maybe the whole use of the word retarded, which happens in junior high schools across America, maybe it's not going to be something that will put our best foot forward. Do you think that Tropic Thunder has undermined itself as a comedy or a satire by using a word that seems to have fallen out of favor?
Well, you're asking me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think that the community at large that is affected by mental retardation and mental illness, I give deference to them and their sensitivities. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that at this time. But at the end of the day, too, I wasn't offended by the song particularly. I think I'm still not really past the fact that he's playing this black guy as a white actor. I'm still not past that, but I understand it's comedy. We have to let it go. I'm content to do that, like I'm content to let the whole retardation thing go. But if it's a big problem for, and I know this sounds real political, for people that are in the mental illness realm and concerned about those issues, then I can understand it.
I think it's mainly developmental disabilities. I mean, there's, you know, first of all, the whole question of language. I mean, Tyrone, do you feel like you're up on the language? I think most people know that they should not use the N-word, but when it comes to other terminology, do you ever find yourself at a loss, like, oh my gosh, what am I using the right word, or what some people call political correctness, although that term in and of itself has fallen out of favor?
Right, yeah. Again, like you said, it's the whole, you know, it's the whole science of language showing its power, because, we have how many words that we can be told not to use and it's not right to use, but we've only got 26 letters in the alphabet, so there's an N-word, there's an R-word now, and there'll be some other word tomorrow. The whole thing is that, you know, like Rob said, like, you know, I'm sympathetic to the people affected or offended by this, but when we're talking about something like the arts, for example, I mean, when we're talking about freedom of expression, who gets to determine who gets to say what, you know, and that's the problem I have with it. It's not that, you know, again, I never would have imagined that when I saw this thing and I saw Martin Downey, you know, Jr., or sorry, Robert Downey Jr. In blackface, as people call it, or playing a white actor playing a black actor, I thought that would have been the outrage. I mean, I kind of was waiting for the fallout from that. I never thought that it would have been about somebody using the word retarded in the film. I mean, when we're talking about the two sides of this, they kind of cancel each other out, because the same way that the filmmakers and the writers have the freedom of expression or are supposed to say these things and do these things on camera, the people who are protesting also have the right to oppose it and to, you know, have their voices heard also.
Lynn, we're going to have to get an up or down vote from you. The up or down in this case is, are people right to be outraged over aspects of this?
If it affects you personally, yes, you have a right to be outraged. But yes, I saw the movie, and it is clear what it's making fun of. It's not making fun of mentally challenged people. It's making fun of the fact that actors go into these sort of roles because they realize it may win them an award quicker.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Farai.
That was Lynn D. Johnson, who blogs at lynndjohnson.com, Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review, an online news site, and Tyrone Rock, who blogs at tyronetakesamerica.com. He joined us from our New York studios.